Parshas Shemos. Here we go, Rabbi Osei. The beginning of Perek Beis in the Parsha, famous story, the Jewish people are being born in Mitzrayim. Vayilech ish mi beis Levi vayikach es bas Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu was born. His parents, Amram and Yocheved, are very old. Big nisim take place. Moshe is born, we know he has to be hid for the first few months. But it's b'nei shloshay rachim. Yocheved hides him for the first few months of his life. She can't hide him anymore. She takes him, as we know, and puts Moshe Rabbeinu in a little basket, atosem basuv asvas hayor, on the Nile River. Says the Torah as follows: Batesatzav achosol mirachok. His sister, Moshe's sister Miriam, stands by from a distance, l'de'a ma ye'aselo, to see what's going to happen to him. I saw a tremendous insight this week in a sefer called Bad Kodesh, written by Rav Beryl Provarsky, who happens to be Rosh Yeshiva in Chevron Yeshiva. I'm sorry, in Panovich Yeshiva, in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak. Says Rav Beryl Provarsky the following tremendous insight into what's going on over here. Did Miriam know the outcome of what was going to take place with her brother Moshe? Probably not. The Torah doesn't sound like that. The Torah says, L'de'a ma ye'aselo. She was actually just hoping to see, well, what's the outcome going to be? She doesn't know what it's going to be. She has no idea that Bas is going to come down and save her. But what does she do? She stays there and she watches to make sure that somebody is with her brother in this time of need. It's a difficult time for Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not Moshe Rabbeinu yet, but it's a difficult time for Moshe, her little brother. And she sticks with him even though she has no clue what the outcome is going to be. It might be a painful outcome. Someone may come, Chas Shalom, and kill Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't matter to her. She sticks with her brother through thick and thin. Rav Provarsky Shlita contrasts this so powerfully between this and the story that takes place in Parshas Vayera. We know over there what happens. Hagar and Ishmael are sent out of Avram's house. By whom? By Sarah. Avram then does it. Sends her out of the house with a flask of water, a little bread and some water. Sends her into the Midbar. And they go on their way. And the Torah describes there what happens. There's no more water in the flask. I give out. Takes Hagar, takes Ishmael, she takes her son and she throws him under a bush. And the Torah describes how, what takes place over there. She stays her distance from her son. Why? The Torah describes, Ki Amra, she says, Al Ereh B'mos HaYaled. I can't bear to see the pain, the death of my son. I can't see it. And she starts to cry. Says Rav Provarsky, a pella, it's a wonder. This is her son. Her son is dying in front of her eyes. Her son needs her. But what? But she can't bear the personal pain that it'll be for her to be with her son at that time. So she leaves him alone. Contrast that, fellas, with what happens in the parsha. Miriam is a brother. It's not her son, it's her brother. But her brother's in a difficult time. Her brother's in a difficult time. I can't leave him by himself. Rabbi Osei, the Jewish way, which will develop in this parasha in a very, very, hopefully in a very clear way, is that we have to concern ourselves and care ourselves in a very, very deep way for our brethren. If our brother is in pain, we're in pain with them in that pain. That is a definition, part of the defining character of what a Jew is all about. And that's what Miriam was showing us in this parasha. I saw an amazing shot, I heard it actually, and someone in this shir actually was saying it to one of his friends in shir also, but I'll share it with you. A little bit further on in this parasha, what takes place? So Basa comes down to the water. And what happens? A few psukim later. Vatiftach. She opens up. Vatir'eves ha-yeled. And she sees what's inside there? A yeled. And then the Torah says, what? V'inei na'ar boche. And there's a na'ar crying. And everyone jumps. Was he a yeled or was he a na'ar? I don't get it. Yeled means a little baby. Na'ar is like a more of a teenager. So Rashi says his cold is like a na'ar. He sounded like a grown boy. Okay. Is there another pshat? So I heard this week. I spoke to a friend of mine in America. He told me this pshat in the name of a sefer called Paneach Raza. A beautiful pshat. Listen carefully. Who's the Nar? So Pashim Shad is the same person as Moshe. Says the Paneach Roz, you know who it was? It was Aaron. She opens up the basket and she sees there's a baby inside. It's really a baby. Moshe's a baby. But Aaron's nearby and Aaron's crying. Why is he crying? His brother's in a difficult situation. Nar Bocha is not referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's referring to Aaron HaKohen, who is totally in it, in the trenches, with his brother Moshe. Moshe's suffering, I'm suffering. Moshe's in a tenuous situation, I am myself in that kind of painful situation as well. This is what happened in the sixth parasha. And there's one, perhaps the most famous Rashi, which I'll develop with the Medrash in a second, that brings this point this point home in a very, very real way. Beginning of Shlishi, Vayivayimahim. In those days, Vayigdal Moshe. Moshe gets up, Vayitzei Alachav. He goes out to his brothers, Vayar Besivlosam. Translate, please. Vayar Besivlosam, and what? He sees their afflictions. Vayar Besivlosam. Famous Rashi. Says Rashi, Vayar Besivlosam, Nasan Eina Velibo Lios Metzar Aleim. He put his heart and his eyes to be distressed for them. Probably what was bothering Rashi is Vayar Besivlosam is redundant. Of course he saw their pain. So what does it mean Vayar Besivlosam? It's much more than just seeing their pain. What does it mean? It means he put his whole heart, his whole essence into feeling the suffering of Bnei Yisrael. The Medrash comments an incredible thing. Says the Medrash, listen to this. Ma'a vayar, vayar, what does it mean that he saw b'sivul sam? Shayaro b'sivul sam, he saw their pains. U'bocha, and he was crying. V'omer, chaval yalechem. Ay, I'm pain for you. Mi'itein musi yalechem. I wish I could die in your place. She'ein lecha malacha, kashim lechas atit. There's no harder work. They're making bricks. By a nothing safe off. He took his shoulders. Umisayel Cholecha Vechem, and he helped them all out. And the Medrash describes, he saw a terrible big load of a gadol on a katan, and a katan on a gadol, and an isha on an isha, and an isha on an isha, and I give out. Terrible. Listen to the end of this Medrash. Says the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata, you Moshe, hinachta asakecha. You left your own business aside. V'alachta liros betzaran shal Yisrael. And you went to go pain yourself with the pain of the Jewish people. V'nahakta b'hem minak achim, and you were their brother. You cared for them like it was your own brother. Ani meniach esel yonim. I'm going to leave the upper sphere, says God. V'ezatachtonim, in the lower spheres. V'adaber imcha, and I will speak to you, Hashem says. Hado dichsiv. That's pshat in the pasuk. V'yar Hashem kisar liros. By the burning bush, it says Hashem saw that what? He went to see. What did he go see? So Pashim Shah, what did he see? He went to see the what? The sneh. Says the Medrash, no. Ra'akadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Shesor me'asakav, he left his own personal issues, L'ros b'sivlosam, to go ahead and pain himself with the pain of the Bnei Yisrael. L'fikach, v'yekor ha'lev Elokim, mitoch ha'sneh. Why did Hashem call it to Moshe from the sneh? Because Moshe left his own business. He didn't care about his own personal issues. He concerned himself with his brothers. Now, Bosai, please listen closely. The next few minutes, I think, are very, very fundamental and esoteristic to our growth as Bnei Torah, to our growth in life. We spoke how Miriam was concerned with her brother, Aaron was concerned with her brother, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned with Bnei Yisrael. It's not something that only applies to them. It's something that very much applies to every single one of us in our daily lives. It might even be, as I said before, a little bit critical and essential to the definition of what a Jew is all about. And that is to be concerned with the plight and the issues that are going on with his friend. My friend's suffering, I'm suffering. My friend's in pain, I'm in pain. I want to show you two quick anecdotes. One that happened to a great gadol, and one that happened in Yeshiva Torah Shraga. I think they bring home this point, and I think if a person thinks about this in a serious way, we can all see how relevant this could be to all of our lives. This story that I read last night in a book written by Rabbi Spiro hammers this point home in the following way. There was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, a Yerushalmi Jew. So his name was Shmuel Yechiel Friedman. I had never heard of him until I read the story. And he had a chavrusa for over 50 years. That's a long time for a chavrusa. Over 50 years with a Rav whose name was Meir Attic. And they learned this hasmara, they didn't mess around too much. And all of a sudden, one day, Rav Meir Attic walks into the room, they're learning together, and he sees his chavrusa looking down. And he never looked down. And he was wondering, why is he looking down? So I'll tell you the truth. I just came back from the doctor, and the doctor told me that I have 6 months left to live. 6 months left in this world. He didn't cry. He didn't let out outward emotion about it, but he felt some pain about it. He turned to his chavrusa and says, "Please, when I pass away, and they come to eulogize me, I don't want them to say anything about me. Nothing about my greatness and this or that. Just in one area they could speak about me. They could say that I tried my entire life to pain myself with someone else's pain and to rejoice in the next person's rejoicement. That's all I want them to say about me." A few weeks go on, a few months go on, and unfortunately the doctors were right, and he's dwindling and dwindling, and the situation is getting worse and worse. And one day his chavrusa walks in, Rav Meir Adik walks in, and sees his chavrusa crying. He's crying. And this is the first time in his entire life that he's ever seen his chavrusa cry. "What's going on?" He turns to him and says, "Hey, what's going on? What's wrong?" So I'll tell you the truth. He says, "All my life, I tried myself to feel the next person's pain." He said, "I'm in such excruciating pain now that I realize that it's not possible that I ever truly felt the next person's pain." Not crying for his own pain. Crying because he wanted so much to feel the next person's pain, but when he saw how much pain he was in himself, he realized, you know what, maybe I really didn't feel that person's pain. High Madriga. Maybe not for everyone in this room. It's hard for us to feel that person's pain. But an incredible concept, fellas. That's what it means to be Jewish. My friend's in pain, I'm in pain also. My friend had a hard time, I'm having a hard time too. My friend's at a low point in his life, I'm there, right there with him to help him out. And it doesn't only apply in times of difficulty. I want to show you a story that happened in Yeshiva Torah Shraga. And I asked permission from God before, and he let me say so. It was God felt it happened. And it could happen to everybody in this room. So listen to this quick little anecdote. It happened to me. This happened around a month ago in Yeshiva Torah Shraga. It was a day after Mincha in Yeshiva, and I was schmoozing with somebody. I think someone that was leaving, or I had to schmooze somebody. It was on a Monday, and I gave a vav on Monday to my Shana Bet boys. And I didn't have a chance to eat lunch. I had to prepare for the vav. And Gav came into the Beis Medrash. And Gav was holding in his hand a bag of his pretzels. Now, these pretzels, they're whole wheat, they're saltless. I'm not even sure that one can make a bracha on them. You know, so he offers me, "Hey, Rebbe, I see you haven't eaten lunch yet. You want some pretzels?" I said, "Gav, thank you so much. You know, nothing personal, but saltless whole wheat. I think they may have even been stale. Wasn't exactly what I wanted to have at that point in time." I said, "Thanks a lot, Gav. It's all right." You know, it's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm preparing for a shir." You know, I didn't have a chance to eat lunch. I mind my own business, continue preparing my shir. And a few minutes later, I'm just back in my sefer, and all of a sudden, onto the desk in front of me, plops a bag of fresh, regular wheat, salted pretzels in front of me. I said, "God, what's this?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You're about to give a shir, and you can't teach Torah as well on an empty stomach as you can on a full stomach. Here's your pretzels." And I tried to fight him. "Can I pay you for it?" "No, you can't pay me. It's my treat." That's the end of the story. Now, that's not a story about a Gadol Yisrael. Maybe, hopefully, one day you will be one day, one Gadol Yisrael. But it's a simple story of a person that's looking out for the next person. Looking out and saying, "You know what? How can I help him? A big deal. What it costs him? 4 shekel on the machine? 5 shekel on the machine? I don't know how much it costs for a bag of pretzels. Not a lot of money. But it shows I care about the next person. It shows I'm concerned. I want to help him out. I see he's in a situation. I could help him out. I want to help him out." Abosai, this is the message, or a message, among many messages that emerge from this parasha. To be a Jew and to be a growing Jew and a growing Ben Torah is a person that looks for opportunities to help others. And when his friend is going through a hard time, he's there with his friend in his hard time. And when his friend has a simcha, he's happy for his friend. He rejoices in his friend's simcha. That's what it means to be a Jew and to be a growing Ben Torah. And I think if we take this message to heart and we internalize this message and put it into our being and put it into our lives, so the whole yeshiva will be enhanced, and by doing so, please God, not only will the yeshiva be advanced, but the entire world will be enhanced and made into a more beautiful, a wonderful place to live in. I boast I have a fantastic Shabbos.